Good evening and welcome to Pigskin Picks, presented by Ballad Health, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this?
Pixie and Pix 935 WAXM. We are back.
Hey, did you know Bill Belichick's playing tonight?
Jesus, we're never going to get through this shit.
I had to do that.
Screw Belichick and his Tar Heels.
Oh, God. This will make it on the Christmas reel. Pigskin Picks 935 WAXM. We are back. We're going to be talking about week one of Southwest Virginia football, and we'll talk about Tennessee and Kentucky. They entered their second weeks. We'll preview the NFL, and also we will have our first guest picker of the season, but alongside Daryl Dingus Ely, Zach Helton somewhere in his bunker, and the elder statesman, Kevin Mays. I'm Corey Sanchez, and we will start out with our senior member, Mr. Cumberland District himself. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing good. What a week it's been.
It has been a week. It almost feels like it's Monday, but I don't know. Zach, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. Just ready to talk some ball. It's been a good week. It's been strong.
Great week for special teams back on Sunday. So, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then let's just get this out of the way now. The biggest Paris, Kentucky fan there is Daryl Dingus Ely. Heard he's going to have a Greyhound in the family here pretty soon. Daryl, how you feeling?
And I was going to talk about the Panthers. How about Tommy Krieger and the Twin Valley Panthers? I was the only person on the show that picked Twin Valley to beat Castlewood. They never beat them in the history of the school. And Twin Valley gets it done. Even Zach Helton, who loves Garden, doesn't pick Twin Valley to win. And Tommy Krieger and the boys get it done. They are 1-0.
I love Tommy Krieger. I love Twin Valley. But those uniforms, obviously they're not going to purchase new uniforms. But who in the world can see those numbers? They're like black on gray. I'm just not a fan. Come on, Krieger. You can do better. Well, but good job.
Hey, those will be the last. Those are the last edition of those uniforms. Yeah. Hey, doesn't matter what you're wearing. Winning always looks good on you, right? But let's talk about some of the games from week one. We start out with our game of the week on WLSD. It was Eastside all over Central, 44-0. Kevin, you and I were there on hand to witness this battle of Wise County. Kelton Hamilton runs for almost 250 yards, multiple scores there. Landon Pinnell in his second season was slinging the rock as well. So I'll start with you. Just your thoughts on Eastside's performance over the Warriors.
Well, it was for Eastside a great performance, good way to start the season out. I know Central invested a lot in that game, and disappointing outcome as far as the Warriors are concerned, and knew they had to be down a little bit after that one. So just a big win for Eastside for sure.
Double D, you were down there standing with some of the mighty folks there covering the game. Talk about what you saw from both sides, Central and Eastside, and how they dominated that game.
Central obviously changed everything in 3 days. They went to a Wildcat-style offense. They shortened their splits. They snapped the ball with less than 5 seconds on the play clock every time. They dominated time of possession, but Eastside dominated every other facet of the game. Controlled the line of scrimmage, and they just whipped them physically. There's no other way to say it. The yardage was over 3-1 in favor of Eastside, and what's alarming from a Central standpoint is that's 2 weeks in a row they have failed to score against a Cumberland opponent. They're defeated 28-0 in a benefit game by Thomas Walker. And then obviously Eastside, a step up in competition, they blank them as well. I know consolidation has happened, but you know, kind of a fun stat here. That is the biggest victory for a high school in Coburn over the high school in Wise in football since 1924. So a real historic victory for Eastside. It's only the second time ever they've beat Central in back-to-back years, and it's, you know, it's obviously Eastside's largest margin of victory over Central. So Rhodes and the boys are off and rolling, and Central, they better figure out a way how to get this one this week.
And no, I was not at that game in 1924, before you ask.
Zach was probably at that game in 1924. You were at a game on Thursday anyway, Zach, but what was your thoughts on this game before we dive into our next game?
Yeah, I was following along with the Eastside Central game, and it's kind of a little bit of what we expected. I think, you know, the fact that Central switches up the offense week one is kind of telling on the, where they're at as a program. Seems like they're kind of grasping for straws, but Eastside, I think, is proven, early they've shown in their scrimmages and now in this game that they're going to be a force, and not only the Cumberland but 1D as a whole.
And Zach, you were at the big game at Richlands as it was Gate City opening up their regular season against you all, and it was the Blue Devils 49-28, and looks like the ghost of a second half pass came to strike on the blue, on the Blue Tornado once again.
Yeah, they looked terrible in the second half against Virginia High, and it seemed the end of the first half was a little wonky. They went for it on a fourth down. It was one of those spots in the field, you know, you got to make a decision. It was around the Gate City 45-yard line. Pin them back deep, go to halftime, but they went for it, didn't come up with it. Gate City rolls down, gets a touchdown right before intermission, and I think that's kind of where things flipped. Richlands, again, a little dormant in the second half. Hopefully they'll clean that up soon. But Gate City, that rushing attack, well-oiled machine early. They blocked well. I thought they played pretty well on defense. They tackled well. They're going to be tough to handle if you don't come to lay the wood against Gate City. They're going to knock you right in the mouth.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I've noticed in seeing Gate City in some of their preseason games, their inter-squad scrimmage. They've got the skill guys, and if they are a little tough up front, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. So, fellas, we'll skip on down to Lebanon and Honaker. This was the last game on Thursday, and UVA Wise commit Michael Reese added 230 yards passing, and he also had 155 yards on the ground as well, too, in the victory in the Cole Bowl. Double D, Honaker, Lebanon does what they do, and that's throwing that rock around.
Yeah, Lebanon, I think it's obvious they have the skilled players to play, and they're going to put up a lot of points. The question for Lebanon is going to be, can they block and give Reese enough time to get the ball out to these athletes that Lebanon has? And then secondarily, when the weather changes and the wind starts blowing a little bit, do they have enough on the ground to win a big ball game in October or November? Lebanon's going to be in the playoffs. You know, they're going to be in contention for getting a home game in the playoffs. And that's kind of where the Pioneers are right now. From the Honaker side, I know they got some kids banged up in that game, which could be detrimental to them going forward. Honaker's going to be a player in 1D. And, you know, this is kind of a sidebar to this game, but you know, to me, the real question after week one from a 1D standpoint is, does the Black Diamond get anyone in the playoffs?
That's a good point. That's good. Kevin, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think Grundy's still in there from the Black Diamond. to answer that question. But one thing, Reese ran a lot also. I mean, he's known obviously for his arm and throwing, but he ran a lot as well. So picked up a lot of yardage on Honaker's defense that way.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see him on Saturday and talk to him. And he said they're ready to go on to the next one. So it's good to see him out there on Friday. On Saturday, UVA-wise. Friday night, and we got it started here. Union at Lee. It was the 17th edition of the Brawl for the Bucket. And, of course, Union, their 17th attempt, their 17th bucket, 49-14 over the Lee Generals. Double D, I'll start with you. Union had some moments were a little clunky, but they kind of cleaned up everything and dominated that first half and sailed to a victory.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Union played particularly well, to be honest. I think that's the worst Union's played, which speaks to kind of the team they have this year. I think they played much better against Elizabeth and much better against Allegheny. Obviously had a turnover there. Lee, I mean, you guys were there. Lee was sending the house. And when you do that, you have big plays, and you have big plays against you. And, you know, Cam Bostic in space is pretty tough to tackle. The thing that I guess sticks out to me is Union is going, you know, spread. They're running out of the gun. Obviously, we all know they can still go under center and run the T. They are nowhere near showing what's in their bag of tricks. You know, I left in the second quarter when it got sideways. So when I was there, Union did not take a snap under center, and that's pretty uncharacteristic for a Union team, and I think speaks to maybe what they're trying to not put on film for some of these games that are coming down the line.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, you and I kind of mentioned it. The passing game was a little off for them at the beginning with Bostic and company, but they were able to write that ship into kind of Double D's point. You know, they're trying to play that gentleman's game. It's like, we're going to get you to look at this, but we're actually working on this in the background.
Yeah, you know, they struggled a little bit, but this Union team is one of the best high school football teams I've seen in a long time. I mean, I've seen them two or three times now, and I mean, they just continue to impress me. So, you know, I think at this point it's theirs to lose.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you've got that 1-2 punch back there, Zach, between Bostic and Chandler, they're going to give anybody fits.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's so much they don't want to show anything on film. I think maybe they've decided to evolve the offense a little bit. You've got Bostic back there. I think you're giving him the keys to the car and letting him go. You know, I think everyone knew going in that they were going to take care of Lee pretty handily. So why not try some things that they haven't really used in the past? And I think Union's going to be a more than just, you know, run it down your throat team. I think defensively they'll still be solid, but I think they might try to throw the ball around a little bit more than they have in the past.
And they were. I'll say this, and nobody – he's – I shouldn't say he's never mentioned, but he's rarely mentioned. In my opinion, in terms of playing at the next level in football, Union's best prospect is number 11. And nobody mentions Anderson. Him. He's hardly ever mentioned. He was unblockable in that game. When his motor gets going, I've not seen an offensive tackle in Southwest Virginia that can block the young man. I mean, you saw the strip sack he had there against Lee. And then some of the things he can do offensively, they're now putting him out wide offensively. Carlos Anderson, I think, is probably the most important player to Union's team and their success and how far they go, because he's a matchup nightmare on both sides of the ball.
That's a good pull by you, Double D. John I. Burton all over Unaka. Kevin, your alma mater, starting out 1-0.
Yeah, and I got to I watched that on the replay too on NFHS, and no PA announcer there apparently at Unaka. I don't know, or the microphone couldn't pick him up. It was pretty hard to pretty hard to watch for a lot of reasons, but shout out to the NFHS and the money everybody pays for that. But anyway, just moving right along, Burton totally dominated.
Just having all kinds of problems with schools and their interactions.
I'm just telling it like it is.
Some weeks are like that. It's all right. Sometimes people just get on your nerves, and I'm with you on that.
I appreciate that, Zach. Always in my corner.
Don't let them get you down.
I'm not. Oh no, don't worry. It's going to take. Well, anyway, we'll just move along. Burton dominated that game. They scored every time they wanted to in the first half. They substituted a lot in the second half, as much as they could. Of course, their roster, small school. They still had some people in there, but man, they've got a lot of weapons like Union. I mean, it's apples and oranges, I think, in comparison. But at that single A level, the Raiders have a lot of weapons.
Alex Colley, Mark Miller, Nico Nice, they all scored a pair of touchdowns in that rout of UNACA. Kent Grant and company got the Grant administration in Dixon County started on the right foot. They went all over Grundy 64-20. And Daryl, hey, Ridgeview, you're talking about people sleeping on Ridgeview. They dominated.
And they were able to throw the ball, they were able to run the ball, and those points came against backups in that game when Ridgeview had subbed down. The Wolfpack are alive, doing well, and I don't know much about Paintsville, Kentucky. I'll be the first person to say that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do. But if Ridgeview can beat Paintsville, Kentucky, I think they will roll into Bullitt Park on a Thursday night undefeated. And what will be a huge football game, not only for the district, for the region, and should be quite an environment given that it's on a Thursday night and it's the only game in town.
Zach, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I'm just disappointed in Daryl's lack of knowledge of Paintsville, Kentucky. Tyler Childers from there, just an Appalachian songbird. But back to Ridgeview, I think when we saw what they did to Lebanon in that benefit game, we kind of realized that they were going to be really tough to handle. Grundy, as Daryl alluded to, their 20 points came, in garbage time. I think Ridgeview and Union right now are 1-2 in complete teams that we've seen in the region. We'll talk about the other one coming up. But, that game, if Ridgeview goes to Paintsville and takes care of business, that game down Bullitt Park in a couple of weeks is going to be an early, early top game of the year candidate.
You may have to make an appearance for that game, Zach.
I'll have to check my schedule. I may have to make my way down 23 and see what's up.
I'll get you a parking pass.
Okay, that'd be great.
Can I get a parking pass too?
Yeah, you know where to go. You know the spot. Now, you and Kevin already know. Yeah, Zach's been there too.
Talk about it. We'll have our people call your people, and we'll talk about it on Friday.
We can do this every weekend.
Yeah.
That's what Biggie said, bro.
Jalen Deal led the way on the ground for the Wolfpack, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns there. And it was, as Daryl already alluded to, Twin Valley defeating Castlewood. There's a great video out there on social media of Coach Krieger all excited over that win because they had lost 7 in a row.
It's the only time in school history they've ever beat Castlewood. Yeah. I mean, that was, in Twin Valley, and, we're not going to overblow this, but, they're going to struggle, I think, to be in contention for the playoffs since last year the school's open. And for a freshman to open the season with a scoop and score over a team that you've never beaten in your school's history and the last year that your school's open, man, that's a lifetime memory.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And you got to give it out to Twin Valley. And, they got a shot with Montcalm this week out of West Virginia. And that series has been kind of lopsided. Whoever wins that game normally just whips the other one. The games aren't usually close.
not only a freshman, but a freshman defensive tackle on the scoop and score. And
we love that, Kevin.
Was Coach Krieger doing a was there like a floss dance being done over there on the sideline or something?
The fact that you know the floss dance is that's a win for me in the show right here, Kevin. On that,
I'm old, but I ain't dead.
Wiser words have never been spoken. And you know, to that point too, I mean, the Black Diamond outside of Grundy, but 2-1 on the in week one. So I mean, you had right Hurley was up there, and they beat Bland. So I mean, off to a good start so far. So good for them.
Well, it goes back to what I was talking about. You know, they need these out of district wins for points if they're going to get a team in the playoff, and they all count. You know, that win by Twin Valley is huge for whoever wins the Black Diamond District. And I agree with Kevin, it's probably going to be Grundy. And so that's huge for Grundy to try to outpoint, you know, another Hogahiggy team, another Cumberland team, and trying to get into the playoffs. So that's a huge win for the Black Diamond District there with Twin Valley beating Castlewood. Because I'd say that's one that wasn't circled by the Grundy coaching staff, an extra 2 points that they're hoping to get later in the year.
And it was Abingdon all over John Battle. John Battle comes back down to earth after winning at Abingdon a couple of years ago. So they were excited about that, but Abingdon dominated in that one. It was Chill Howie over Marion, blanking them 38.
I think you skipped one.
No, I didn't skip one. I'm coming back to that.
It
was Patrick Henry all over falling to Virginia High 48-7. Northwood up in Twin Springs 38-21. And
Sanchez, can I ask a question here?
Yes.
And to Zach, at what point do we, and by we I mean the football following public of Southwest Virginia, start taking Virginia High seriously as a region contender?
Well, I don't know if you take them. I don't think they're a region contender quite yet. They have great weapons offensively, but I just don't think they have the defense right now to compete with a Union, a Graham, a Ridgeview. And I think they're going to get in the shootout with Lebanon again. I just don't think they're quite there yet. In my opinion.
And it was Tom Walker over Cumberland Gap, 36-27. And then the Graham G-men fall to Bluefield 20-10. Zach, you were there for that game. Talk about what you saw from those Beavers munching down on the G-men.
Well, Bluefield, a younger squad. I think they've got maybe 3 seniors on this team. Pax Calhoun, Max Simpson, they were a tandem all night. They're both going to be fun to watch the next 3 years. They're both sophomores. Really what it's been, you know, the past couple of years, Graham has been the more physically dominating team. And Bluefield went in Friday night, punched them right in the mouth, got in their grill early, and it was got up on them. And you could kind of feel Graham really didn't quite know how to respond. You know, they hadn't been down to Bluefield in a long time. It was 20-3 at halftime. The only, you know, cramps in defense was all we saw in the second half, and Graham got a touchdown to make it 20-10. That was the final score. But you know, Graham's got some young pieces in some spots. You know, Blake Graham's gone, Campbell Fix is gone. Some of those long DBs that they had, you know, that Max Simpson and Bluefield's passing attack took advantage of those younger DBs. Graham's going to be good. I could see them going 9-1, maybe 8-2, depending on, well, you know, they've already picked up a win this week. Union coming up next week. That's going to be a fun one at Tazewell. But I think they'll be ready to go at the end of the year, but I think they may take a lump or two in the regular season.
And that's why I moved that game to the bottom, is what you alluded to,
yeah,
Zach, was the fact that Graham has won via forfeit because Galax forfeit the game and everything. Double D, I think you had something on that too.
Yeah, well, you know, I went over last weekend and saw the Bluefield State Tusculum college game, and I was in the press box talking to a lot of folks that were Graham supporters and people I've known for many years. And their question to me was, and their fear was, you know, they get to play Union, you know, in Tazewell County, you know, even if they win that game, their fear was they couldn't beat Princeton, and that, and a 9-1 Union would outpoint an 8-2 Graham, and it, they may end up as the 2 seed possibly in the playoffs. Or, you know, if they lose to Princeton and say Ridgeview beats Union, you know, they'll end up having to go to either Ridgeview or Bullitt Park in the playoffs. That was their concern, Zach, from this game against Bluefield, was they're really fearful about that Princeton game, or at least the folks I spoke to were.
Yeah, and I think everyone's going to learn a little bit about Princeton. You know, Princeton took care of Capital last week up in right. West Virginia, and Bluefield travels to Princeton Friday night. So, you know, there's a lot of questions going to be answered here soon. But Princeton's they've got another solid team in front of them. So, yeah, I can see where the Graham folks kind of feel that way. They've got some work to do. I think they'll be all right, but they definitely got some work to do.
Yeah, I mean, that was just their fear, was that at 8-2, they would get outpointed by 9-1 Ridgeview, 9-1 Union. I'll tell you, one guy even asked me, he said that their biggest fear was they go 8-2, they go undefeated in the Southwest District, they beat Union, but they actually end up the 3 seed because Ridgeview and Union both go 9-1.
That's possible.
Yeah, that struck they're very worried about, you know, and again, I know Capital's program, and I know Capital traditionally is one of the powerhouses in West Virginia football there, right there in Charleston. So to see Princeton do what they did to them, I think it's legitimate and fearful in that. But you could have some PowerPoint situations here where, you know, the G-men could be maybe going on the road in the playoffs despite running through everybody in Southwest Virginia again in the regular season.
Well, it's probably good because they don't have a home field.
And
gosh,
you're a taxpayer in that county. I'm not. Guys. So
that's cold blooded. That's cold blooded. But as we wrap factual? Up, the go ahead, Kevin.
It's factual. I mean, I don't. As long as you're telling facts, I guess it's okay, right?
Exactly. I'm lying, I'm dying, and I'm breathing right here on
That's
the air.
Right.
You know? I got you, Zach. So we got to look out for each other. These two will take us
I can't wait
on the long road.
I can't wait till you guys are back at each other's throats here in a couple of segments. But in Virginia, Zach was 9-10, Double D Kevin 8-10, and I was 7-10. Still early, make a comeback there. We will
run through my title.
Yeah, you're going to reclaim your time. Reclaiming your time over here, Maxine? I got
no,
you.
I'm just not defending my title.
Okay. As we'll come back here on Pigskin Picks, we'll talk about Northeast Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky, because some reason we know a little bit more, maybe the percentages, I don't know, but it's Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Delegate Terry Kilgore, representing Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates, is a dedicated and esteemed advocate for the educational institutions of Southwest Virginia, as well as the revitalization of our cherished community. Delegate Kilgore is a fervent supporter of high school and college sports, embodying the spirit of community engagement and support. For further information on Delegate Terry Kilgore, please visit DelegateKilgore.com.
Home. It's where memories are made and where love grows. It's long talks in the kitchen, laughter in the hallway, and quiet moments that mean everything. At Eastman Credit Union, we're here for every step of your home ownership journey, so you can focus on building the life you've always dreamed of. Because a home is more than just a place. It's a feeling that lasts forever. Wherever life takes you, ECU is always by your side.
Ballad Health is dedicated to delivering top-quality health care close to home, featuring state-of-the-art facilities and services right in your neighborhood, complemented by nearby hospitals to enhance your care. When an emergency arises, you can find solace in the proximity of care. Visit one of our emergency departments at your nearest hospital, Norton Community, Dickinson Community, Lee Community, or Lonesome Pine Hospital. For more information, visit BalladHealth.org.
Back here at Pigskin Picks 935 WAXM, we dive into our sister states there, Northeast Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky, and we'll do the rundown here as it was Volunteer at Claiborne. Volunteer wins 50-0. They're 2-0. Claiborne falls to 0-2. Volunteer boys hasn't even given up a point this year. I think they've outscored their opponents, 80-0? In the first two games. And Daryl, you've got some fun facts about that.
They're 2-0 for the first time since 2014. In the history of Volunteer High School, they have never started 3-0. It's a battle of unbeatens this week when they play Granger. One of the biggest games in Volunteer High School history will take place this week. So kudos to them and what's going on there. Really a complete turnaround. Kevin was talking off air about how they had one of the longest losing streaks in Northeast Tennessee there for a while. And they've done a 180. So kudos to them and what's going on there.
Yep, down there on the Smurf Turf. That's where they'll be playing against Granger. It was Sean Winton and company getting in the winning category for the first time this season as they beat Tennessee High 26-21. And then Westridge, that's right, Zach's favorite school, Westridge, wins 41-10 over David Crockett. They go to 2-0. Crockett falls 2-0-2.
You know why they're my favorite school?
Why is that?
Anytime I get in an airplane and I'm leaving Tri-Cities, I always look down and crack open a cold beverage from my seat and just toast the Wolfpack for their ability to steal logos and names.
Did you, but they have the coolest lights, at night when their stadium is empty.
They do.
Of any football. I mean, you could probably see it from the air.
If you're driving on 81, you look from behind, you think you're getting pulled over.
Yeah, it's
I know that awesome feeling very well. So,
sort of matches the shirt I'm wearing.
Well, it was the hippies. It was the hippies battling the band, and the band won. Kevin, 21-7. Dobbins Bennett beats Asheville. Thoughts on that game?
Dobbins Bennett won. That's about all I know about it.
Go band!
It was there a good winner, I think.
Greenville.
The band did give a great performance.
There you go. Greenville on top of Upperman. They were not in the upper room. They went to the bottom room there, Zach. 41-33 in a good game. Greenville remains undefeated. And it was Science Hill beating Motown West 41-12. And then Chucky Doak gives Sullivan East the old Okie Doak 38-21. I went through this three times because I didn't trust my math. Boys, we went 6 of 7 in Tennessee, all three of us. I don't know how. I don't know who told us that we were going to do this good then, but congratulations. Give yourself a pat on the back or drink a cold beverage, however you want to do it. And we move over to Eastern Kentucky as it was Leslie County falling to LCC. Hey, Zach, you down for LCC?
Oh, you know me.
Yeah, 45-0. As Letcher County evens up their record this year to 1-1. Hazard all over Whitley County, 42-7. And then it was Harlan County over Eminence, 35-0. Boys, we were perfect in the bluegrass state. So give yourselves a clap. Okay. All right. I'm the only one doing it. That's okay. That's all right. I'll do that. Y'all want to pick some games in Kentucky? We're contractually obligated to do so.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Get lucky in Kentucky.
There you go. Get lucky in Kentucky. It is Raceland 2-0 at Pikeville. Double D, who do you have?
I'll go with the home team. I'll go with Pikeville.
Pikeville for Double D. Kevin.
I don't know if I've ever, in my illustrious 2-year career here with the picks, I don't know if I've ever picked against Pikeville, so I'll stay with them.
I got you. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going Pike Vegas as well. They're playing a lot tougher schedule than almost anyone in Eastern Kentucky. They're going to be battle tested. I think they pick up the win in this one.
Yeah, you know, I don't like this one. I'll go Raceland in there. It's Shelby Valley at LCC. I've got LCC. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, going with the Cougars.
All right, Cougars for Kevin. And Zach?
Cougars always. There you Cougars go. For me as well, yes.
You and Kevin agreeing on everything today. Double D?
Wichita County Central.
All right, LCC for Double D. It's Hazard at Prestonsburg. Zach, who you got?
I'm going to go Prestonsburg. I think this one's a good one, but I'm going to go Prestonsburg at home.
Double D?
My day job, real job, the home office is in Hazard. A lot of folks there that follow the Bulldogs. Give me Hazard.
Hazard there. And Kevin?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hazard also. And thoughts and prayers with everyone over in WYMT television land there. As the chief meteorologist who was there since 1983, they lost him. He passed away just recently. So thoughts with that broadcast family over there.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. I saw that they had put him on hospice earlier in the weekend, and then he passed away. So definitely thoughts and prayers with them. And Kevin goes Prestonsburg. I'll go Prestonsburg as well.
Kevin took Hazard.
Oh, I don't want to be sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I don't want him to get knocked out.
I was going to go, you know, if Prestonsburg won, then I was just going to leave it like that. And then if Hazard won, I'd be like, no, you need to listen to the tape. Play it back. I picked Hazard. So, you know, I win either way, but that's
Bump all right. It, we'll do it live, right? And you know what we'll do live here? We've got the college slate from week one, UVA-wise. Bluefield State looking elite as well. And Emory and Henry just keep on doing Emory and Henry type things. And then Daryl will do his victory lap in the Big Ten. So that's all coming up next here. Picks and Picks 93.5 WAXM.
Delegate Terry Kilgore, representing Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates, is a dedicated and esteemed advocate for the educational institutions of Southwest Virginia, as well as the revitalization of our cherished community. Delegate Kilgore is a fervent supporter of high school and college sports, embodying the spirit of community engagement and support. For further information on Delegate Terry Kilgore, please visit DelegateKilgore.com.
Home. It's where memories are made and where love grows. It's long talks in the kitchen, laughter in the hallway, and quiet moments that mean everything. At Eastman Credit Union, we're here for every step of your home ownership journey, so you can focus on building the life you've always dreamed of. Because a home is more than just a place, it's a feeling that lasts forever. Wherever life takes you, ECU is always by your side.
Ballad Health is dedicated to delivering top-quality healthcare close to home, featuring state-of-the-art facilities and services right in your neighborhood, complemented by nearby hospitals to enhance your care. When an emergency arises, you can find solace in the proximity of care. Visit one of our emergency departments at your nearest hospital, Norton Community, Dickinson Community, Lee Community, or Lonesome Pine Hospital. For more information, visit BalladHealth.org.
Back here, Pigskin Picks 93.5 WAXM. Get ready to talk about college football week one, but it's Daryl's favorite time as we get ready to do the shout outs. So before we get to that, Zach, you got any shout outs?
Yeah, give a shout out to my wife, Hannah, who is a tremendous mother, to our daughter, Eliana, who we brought to her first football game Saturday night. I want to spoil it very much like Bluefield State. She didn't make it through the entire night. She didn't play all four quarters. The baby went home early. So shout out to those two young women. And shout out to not only Tommy Krieger, and the Twin Valley Panthers, who beat up. Here's why I picked Castlewood, Daryl. I am a pro Garden all the way. Shout out to Miranda Ely, former Garden Green Dragon, but also former Garden Green Dragon quarterback Patrick Wade, the athletic director at Castlewood High School. So even though Twin Valley won, I was still pro Garden on that unfortunate pick.
Kevin, how about you?
Yeah, I was looking there. A couple of my aunts, I wanted to shout out to them. One, my late mother's sister, Christy, my Aunt Christy, she's the only one from that generation still around with us. And they're down in South Carolina, but they listen online. So shout out to them. And, of course, also my Aunt Joanne, who is in Texas between Austin and San Antonio, but she is transplanted there from Ohio and is a huge Buckeyes fan. She sent me a message this past weekend right before the game with Texas and how she was suffering down there in Texas, but still cheering for the Buckeyes. So so for that reason, I'm glad of the result of that game. But shout out to her as well, and to my wife, Susan, and all the kids and grandkids. There's a bunch of them. They know who they are. We've had all the tests, so they can't deny me. So, but, shout out to them.
We will not call Maury, right? Daryl, how's my favorite Greyhound doing? Yeah, Greyhound, how are you doing?
First off, I'll start with two guys in Dickinson County. Code counts starting in the secondary for the Bluefield University Rams, who are 1-0 after their win over Thomas. Code was a standout player at Ridgeview, went to Bluefield. He's really busted his tail there and has worked his way into the starting lineup. And Bluefield, they feel like they have a chance to compete for the AAC championship this year. So if you're out and about one Saturday, go over there and see Code Accounts play and Bluefield, what they're doing. Just a great young man, and he's really worked his tail off to get in a spot where he's starting at the collegiate level. So kudos to him. Shout out to Cody Edwards, a UVA Wise alum, a Dickinson County native. He picked up his first collegiate coaching win over his alma mater, Concord. To everybody on this show's surprise, and I think anybody that would have been picking, I think it's a pretty sizable upset for Concord to come to UVA Wise and win, especially in the fashion that they did it. Former Powell Valley quarterback Brad Robbins, offensive coordinator at Tulsa. They start the year 1-0. Shout out to Brad and Tulsa and what they're doing there. And that's all I have this week, Mr. Sanchez.
I'm shocked.
I mean, I could, if you want me to just start rattling names, I can rattle names.
I have to give you a hard time, WD. Yeah, you stole one of them from me. I was going to say Cody Edwards. I wanted to give a shout out to Wayne Bledsoe. He's the PA voice of the Rock Cove Eagles. Goes to church with me. He listens to us every Thursday night. So appreciate Wayne listening to us. And I know we talked about it, but shout out to Kent Grant as well, winning his first head coaching debut there. And shout out to my family as well, my wife, Rindy, and my son, Zane, and to-be-named baby girl coming up here eventually. I don't know when we've got a couple of names, but I don't know when we're going to just pull the Band-Aid off.
Are you guys taking suggestions or?
Sure. Why not?
Jaden.
Kavina.
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 That sounds like a skincare line.
It does. It does. It. Well, yeah, that rash went away. Well, thanks for the Kavina.
Well, my first name is actually Paul, and Pauline.
Paulina, there you go. Paula.
Yeah. Concord 37-29 over UVA Wise. Kevin, this Tyler Mazzell, 24, 35, 389 yards, three touchdowns, threw two picks. They jumped out to a 30-8 lead over the Cavaliers on Sunday. Talk about a little bit what you saw on the field from UVA Wise and Concord.
Well, you know, and Mazzill, it was his first start in an actual competitive game in 2 years, because he redshirted 1 year and then was at Wake Forest, but didn't really get on the field. So then he comes, you know, to Wise, and I get just a very talented athlete. It's no secret as to why Wake Forest and other D1 programs were looking at him, but glad he got a chance to start there. Unfortunately, it came against UVA Wise and showed everybody there at Carl Smith Stadium just, you know, what kind of athlete he is, which is a superior one at that D2 level. And I think that made a big big difference in the game. And, you know, kudos to UVA Wise as well. They were down 30-6 at one point, I think, and then came back in the second half and made a game of it and was right there till the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you can't blame, I feel like, losses like that on the officials, but there were a couple of questionable things, I especially on that last drive, the pass interference. I don't know if you saw it, if the ball was uncatchable or whatever. I thought that might have been more of a reaction towards it. And then the alignment in the neutral zone on that 4th and 10, which I think changed Corcoran's decision-making. And he was just like, hey, free play, we're going to upchuck it. But, I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, you know, and I think Coach Bass would say that he was appreciative of how they battled back in this one. And, you know, it's on the Newberry this week.
Yeah, and the really jumping into the neutral zone, I think, was that call or lack thereof was more important late in the game when actually it was actually not UVA Wise, but their opponents who jumped. And, well, they didn't jump because, you know, it's sort of like speeding. If they don't give you a ticket, you're not speeding, right? So, but you had a Concord defender that I think everybody in Carl Smith Stadium saw jump, yep, except for the gentleman who were wearing the striped shirt. And that was a big play.
Yes, I agree. That, like I say, if nobody sees it, it's not illegal. Tusculum all over the Fighting Zach. Helton's 49-23. Daryl and Zach were both at the game. So I'll start with Zach here, who was doing the play-by-play on the Big Blue Sports Network. Did I get that officially right?
You did. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go. Talk Thank about what you saw out of your boys.
God bless the shout out there. Well, you know, right before halftime, it seemed like Bluefield State was getting some momentum. They were driving the football, and then that drive kind of stalled. Ended up kicking a field goal to cut it to 5. It was 28-23 at the half. And, you know, I think a lot of people on the Bluefield State side felt all right about how things had shaken out point-wise. Although, you know, at the end of the day, when you look back at it, Tusculum gave Bluefield State 14 points in that first half with a couple of miscues. And then the second half, Tusculum's running attack just chewed away the defense, chewed away the time, and really just kind of demoralized Bluefield State's comeback efforts. The Big Blue, no points in the second half. And I said it on air, I'll say it here. I don't think Tusculum, they were picked last in the South Atlantic Conference. I don't think they will finish there. On the same note, I don't think Bluefield State had some moments that showed some improvement. I don't think Bluefield State's going to finish last in the CIAA this year either. So, but Tusculum, 100 plus guys rushing the ball, the Dinwiddie kid, the Celestin kid, and the quarterback Taylor are all going to be fun to watch, I think, this year for the Pioneers.
Zach, I don't think the question is if they're going to finish last. It's the question, is Bluefield State going to give up 91 points again this year?
Well, we hope not. Sunday you pull on the NFL Network and yeah. Union and Miles, Virginia Union and Miles was there, and Hannah was like, "Who's that?" I said, "Well, that's the team that beat us 91-0 last year." That's why they're on the NFL Network and we're not.
Granted,
but yeah, let's hope, because that game's at home this year.
I'll take Zach Helton over Weiss any day of the week, though, to be honest with you. So
oh, they but, get thank you up there.
Yes. Daryl, what'd you see from this game? You were up there.
It's the first time I've been to a Bluefield State home football game. I'd been over there for basketball before, been to baseball. It is a very good small college environment. Bluefield State does a good job with their in-game environment, especially given the resources that they have. It's not a bad place to go and watch a game. You're obviously at Mitchell Stadium. From the game standpoint, Bluefield State has a lot of issues in their front seven. Tusculum dominated the line of scrimmage. They knocked Bluefield State off the ball. Zach, you called the game. The guy's name escapes me. Number 23 for Tusculum probably could have had 400 rushing yards. If Coach Taylor wanted him to have 400 yards, he could have had 400 rushing yards. Tusculum is going to be a problem for teams if they can play close or play ahead, because they get under center and it's just down blocking. Here we come, you know, right at you. And they've got the Dinwiddie kid. The quarterback can run the football. Tusculum has some things they need to clean up in terms of ball security. Otherwise, that game probably would have been more sideways than what it ended up being. I do agree with Zach. I don't think Tusculum's going to finish last in the South Atlantic Conference, but it was a good environment. It was a good day at Mitchell Stadium. It's pretty cool. You know, I've done a lot of things related to sport. It's the first time in my life I'd ever been to two college football games in the same day. And you can do that over there with Bluefield and Bluefield State both playing at home. It's pretty cool to go do that. And good environment. I'd encourage people to go watch them play. It's a lot of fun. And even if the youngest Helton wouldn't give me a fist bump, I had a good time.
There you go.
We tried to get that.
Go ahead, Zach.
I said, we tried to get it, but her fist just doesn't quite make the fist yet. So we'll get there.
Did she give you the one finger salute, Double D? Is that what happened?
No, but her father has before.
Oh, well, we know that, of course. So it's kind of funny, Daryl, not even to be, not to change the subject, but how many like sport double hitters have you done now? Have you ran the gauntlet now?
I've been to two baseball, major league baseball games back in the old days. I've been to a conventional doubleheader in Cincinnati, and I've been to a day-night doubleheader in Cincinnati. I've been to two college football games, obviously two basketball games, two softball games, multiple volleyball games. Never been to multiple lacrosse games in the same day. I guess that would be the only sport that is played here locally, at least at the collegiate level. I've not seen multiple of in the same day, but I don't know if there's another doubleheader this year with Bluefield and Bluefield State, but that's really a lot of fun. And, those kids at both levels, NAIA D2 level, they love football. I mean, they're not getting NIL deals like some of these D1 guys. They love the sport. They play their heart out. They're good athletes. And I would encourage anyone who happens to listen to this to go to a small college football game, be it at Emory, be it at UVA Wise, Bluefield State, Pikeville. You need to go. Because until you go, you really can't conceptualize the difference in athleticism, speed, and just how good you have to be to play at the collegiate level. No, it's not Division I. No, it's not 1AA. But these kids are really good ball players. And you got to have some skills to play at Bluefield State, Emory, UVA Wise, and on down the road. So go watch these kids, support them. You know, it's fairly cheap relative to other big-time college games. And like I said, Bluefield State, and I'll brag on Bluefield State here, and I'm not just saying it's because Zach's on the air. As someone who went to both games, part of it's because it was at night, but the environment for the Bluefield State game was great. And I've been to many small college games all throughout this country. I thought it was really good. I thought they did a great job. with what they were doing. You know, the new lights at Mitchell Stadium since the last time I was there was pretty cool with what they can do with the lights. You know, their concessions are reasonably priced. And it's a fun experience.
Good. Awesome. And let's say we'll breeze over this one, but kind of a cool connection, though, Zach. Emory and Henry beats Glenville State 45-17. We all had the Waspers. And Jordan Jackson ran for 226 yards for the Wasps. But Parker Prelew, that's familiar. Daddy was a standout at Virginia Tech, played several years in the NFL, played for the Redskins, Bills, Jaguars, drafted by the 49ers, had a touchdown reception in that. And Double D, Emory and Henry, just looking like Quentin Hunter's got them running well.
They've got it rolling. You know, Quentin's doing a tremendous job. You got to tip your cap to Quentin and what he's been able to do over there. You know, I think the Wasps will be in the upper half of the South Atlantic Conference, and they have certainly figured out the transition to NCAA Division II football.
And we move from D2. We'll talk about this has been the Daryl Ely show right now. Daryl, do your run lap. Ohio State beats Texas 14-7. Here you go.
Don't know why anybody is surprised with this. I don't know that anybody on this show is. The Big Ten has moved ahead of the SEC as the premier conference at the FBS level. It's been that way now for two or three years. For many, many years, the SEC was the best team, or the best league, excuse me. That's not the case. And there's no way that anybody could say that that's the case, because we have too much data now to back it up. The Big Ten's won the last two national championships. You know, in my opinion, the two best teams in the country right now are Penn State and Ohio State. I think last year, the two best teams in the country were Oregon and Ohio State.
Kevin, you got to have a rebuttal.
No, I'm a Southeast Conference guy, but I mean, you know, also dealing facts every day, and the fact is the Big Ten is better than the Southeast Conference in football right now, plain and simple.
And didn't get any prettier for the SEC as Florida State maintained lead throughout most of the game there and won 31-17 over Alabama. Zach, the Tide rolled over.
Yeah, this one. Right, this one was a little surprising. I wasn't surprised as much when I saw that Florida State had won. I just saw how dominant they were throughout the game. Was really surprising. Very much kind of what we alluded to with Concord earlier. Florida State's flipped the script pretty quickly, and that's a big home win for them. And you know, with two of their darlings going down on opening night, Texas and Alabama, the SEC definitely, I think Paul Feinbaum's pulling what few hairs he's got out left, and I think he's trying to get Saban back in the seats at Alabama, I think. I read somewhere, so yeah, there may be I don't think they're on the panic button yet, but the hand is hovering over it down in Birmingham at the Southeastern Conference offices right now.
It's very alarming when I'm not knocking the guy, it's just factual. When you can't play quarterback at Boston College and you end up at Florida State and everybody and their brother thinks Alabama's going to go in there and win by 2 to 3 touchdowns, and it ends up the opposite direction. I mean, Alabama lost to a guy who basically Boston College said, "We don't want you anymore." And Florida State ends up with him, and here we go. I don't know if it says more about Alabama or more about Florida State. I think, you know, the assistant coaches at Florida State have been able to do a tremendous job there, but that's alarming for Alabama. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember what life was like at Alabama before Nick Saban, and it wasn't pretty. And the funding in the Southeast Conference is such that if Alabama doesn't get this ship righted soon, it could get ugly.
Well, Nick Saban got out of the game when he realized what was happening with NIL and everything else. And I'm not an Alabama fan, but, you know, Saban, I think, liked to coach a certain way. He liked the game, the way the game was being played. Obviously, he was dominant in it. But he knew other schools were going to catch Alabama. So, you know, and it was time for him to go. The game was passing him by. So, you know, that's just a fact, I think. And I think we're seeing that now. Alabama's, are they even in the top four or five of the Southeast Conference, let alone the country?
That's something. That's like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Three.
The world may never know. But the SEC did get a rebound there, as it was Tennessee going down to Georgia in down there Mercedes-Benz and winning 45-26 against Syracuse. And then, Darryl, you gave us the tell on this next game. Kentucky just passed Toledo 24-16, and what, you know, folks thinking that this is probably Stoops last year up there in Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, it was you know, Kentucky's defense can play, but I don't think they can score enough to compete in the SEC. And there's a lot of people, you know, talking about, well, the SEC redeemed itself with, you know, South Carolina's performance and Tennessee's performance, and you know, are we really going to gloat about the fact that Tennessee beat Syracuse? It's not been relevant in 30 years, 25 at least. And it's more than that. We're closer to 30. I mean, how long has it been since Donovan McNabb played there? And then you go, yeah, so there you go with that. And, you know, Virginia Tech, they've not been relevant since Frank Beamer was there. I mean, Tech.
Sorry, Zach.
Didn't even come close to, I mean, they couldn't sniff the end zone. The biggest win the SEC did have this week, which we'll talk about a little bit, LSU over Clemson. LSU may be the best team in the conference. And how this transpires throughout the course of the year will be very intriguing to me from the standpoint of how many teams does the SEC get in the playoff, because these losses will matter when it comes to selection time.
Yeah, we'll be talking about all this in December again. I'm with you on the Tech one. Tech's defense played well for about three quarters. Once they gave up that punt return, it kind of felt like everything caved in on them. But Kyron Drones, that young man, if you would have given him Google Maps to the end zone, I think he could have found it on Sunday. He looked lost as a ball in a field full of corn. And that's sad, as you know, this is supposed to be in his big year as a quarterback at Virginia Tech. And yeah, hopefully, speaking of Southeast Conference foes, they got Vanderbilt coming to town this week. Hopefully they can clean it up before then.
Well, yeah, Zach, I mean, your buddy and friend and friend of mine, he says it's the biggest game that Tech's played in a very long time.
Yeah.
Shout out, Brady.
Last Hitch. Year, you went down there and laid an egg in Nashville. You definitely got to get this one back this week.
And the officials tried to help y'all last year, didn't they? It might not help you at home.
Yeah.
Special teams was the killer there. Frank Beamer was in his Gamecock gear, and it just everything went upside down for the Hokies down there, falling to South Carolina 24-11. Hey, Zach, at least you got a kicking game, man. That kicker is pretty good with no wind and indoors. He looked really good.
got a lot of practice.
Yeah, right. And then
put a roof on Lane Stadium before Saturday.
It was the Convicts beating the Catholics 27-24 in a real good game. I actually had one of my buddies call me. He's a big Notre Dame fan. And he said, well, I'm just calling you because I know you're going to make a smart remark. And I'm like, I really don't know. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I'm like, yeah, there you go. So Notre Dame falling there, fellas. And then, like we alluded to earlier, LSU beats Clemson 17-10. Clemson had a 10-3 lead going into halftime. They get shut out in the second half and fall to LSU in the Tiger Bowl. Double D Kevin Zach, 5 of 9. I was 4 of 9. I am bringing up the rear this year. But we will talk about the National Football League. We'll preview that, give you some division winners there. And as it is, Pixie and Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Delegate Terry Kilgore, representing Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates, is a dedicated and esteemed advocate for the educational institutions of Southwest Virginia, as well as the revitalization of our cherished community. Delegate Kilgore is a fervent supporter of high school and college sports, embodying the spirit of community engagement and support. For further information on Delegate Terry Kilgore, please visit DelegateKilgore.com.
Home. It's where memories are made and where love grows. It's long talks in the kitchen, laughter in the hallway, and quiet moments that mean everything. At Eastman Credit Union, we're here for every step of your home ownership journey, so you can focus on building the life you've always dreamed of. Because a home is more than just a place. It's a feeling that lasts forever. Wherever life takes you, ECU is always by your side.
Ballad Health is dedicated to delivering top-quality healthcare close to home, featuring state-of-the-art facilities and services right in your neighborhood, complemented by nearby hospitals to enhance your care. When an emergency arises, you can find solace in the proximity of care. Visit one of our emergency departments at your nearest hospital, Norton Community, Dickinson Community, Lee Community, or Lonesome Pine Hospital. For more information, visit BalladHealth.org.
Back here, Pigskin Picks 93.5 WAXM. It is opening night in the National Football League. Kevin's Dallas Cowboys are facing the Philadelphia Eagles. We won't give you any spoilers, but, you know, because we're still stuck in the past. But
I'm looking forward to watching Micah Parsons play tonight.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be playing Madden today, so that'll be good.
What happened?
Well, Kevin, this isn't on the sheet, but we really didn't address it that much. The gambler decided to gamble. I guess the Netflix money didn't go into the contract negotiations. Micah Parsons was traded last Thursday.
To the
Green Bay Packers. You got some picks. You got an old defensive lineman. Talk about it from the Cowboys standpoint.
Well, I don't have the same opinion as most Cowboy fans.
You have sense, we know, but
yeah, I'm just glad it's over with, to be quite honest. Can we just move on now? In case you haven't heard, Zach, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce are engaged, and Michael Parsons has been traded to the Packers. Okay, that's all that needs to be addressed on this show or any other show.
Okay,
Stephen A. Smith. That's all that needs to be addressed on those two subjects. Let's move on and watch the games on the field.
Just so you know, Micah Parsons does return to Dallas September 28th.
Yeah, and he'll be well received, and you know, because they like to boo Jerry. And I mean, I'm not a Jerry Jones fan. I think anybody who's been around me for more than 5 minutes and wants to talk about the NFL knows that. But at the same time, you know, ultimately, it is his team. And win, lose, or draw, he's the owner and the general manager, which is idiotic. But at the same time, he's the one who makes those decisions. And, you know, he hasn't made a good one in 30 years, some people will say. But I'm sure his children, when they disseminate the will, when Jerry does pass away, will probably disagree with most of those who say he hasn't made too many good decisions.
As Jerry said, he said, Michael, they had to do what was best and send Michael off. And Michael is now in Green Bay.
And yeah. And Michael. Yeah. Micah's agent, according to Jerry, I've not seen actual verification of this from anybody else, but Jerry Jones did tell
Stephen A. Smith that his agent told him to take his offer and put it somewhere, as my late mother would say, where the sun don't shine. And when that happened, that was it. He wasn't staying in Dallas. I mean, I knew that from the moment I heard that Micah Parsons would not be staying in Dallas, because Jerry Jones, if for nothing else, is a very proud man. And you talk to him like that, he's too old now to throw a punch, but he's going to make sure he comes out on the side that he wants to be on. So he got rid of it, basically.
So it's like what Al Gore said that time about Social Security putting in a lockbox, right? That's where he told him put it in the lockbox.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah. All right, fellas, let's take a look. We'll do this AFC, NFC. We'll pick the division winners. I'll start out with Kevin, since you're so excited. We'll do the AFC. Give us your division winners.
Oh, Lord. Trying to remember who's even in there. I think Buffalo wins theirs.
Okay. Buffalo in the East.
I'm going to take the safe bet in the North and go with the Ravens. I don't know. I mean, I think that division is going to be wide open. Kansas City in the West.
Okay.
And the South. Does anybody want to win that division?
No.
I mean, that's a tough call all the way around. It's not going to happen, but I'm just going to throw it out there because, you know, they're the quote-unquote local team to us, so let's just put the Titans out there. Why not? Anybody else can win it. Don't look at me that way, Corey. Who's going to win it, Jacksonville, Indianapolis?
I defer to Double D. Who are your AFC champions?
Buffalo. I think Jacksonville takes a big step forward. I think Jacksonville will score a ton of points this year. I think they're similar to Cincinnati. It's just how well does their defense play. But they're in a much weaker division, which I think will benefit them. Houston has let go of too many pieces, I think, to win the division. So Jacksonville, I guess, in a slight upset. Baltimore and Kansas City would be the other two.
All right, Zach.
Yeah, we'll go Buffalo. I'm going to go Jaguars as well. I'll go Chiefs in the West. And no shock to anyone, I'm going to go Steelers in the North.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hold your applause. I'm going to go Commanders in the NFC East.
Hold on. We'll come back to the NFC.
I like
where you're going. I like where you're thinking.
Okay.
I like Baltimore in the North. I'm just going to go against the grain. And I just really want to feel different here. I know this is going to be I still think Houston's got it in the South. Do the pleated pants work in the West, though? Is this the Chargers moment, or where the unholy matrimony between the young blonde one and the aging tight end, does that supersede everything?
I don't think
so. You know what? Give me the Broncos in the West.
Oh.
There you go. See? There you go. It took you all the way around there. And Buffalo, I think they'll win this division. But watch out for New England, y'all. Watch out for New England. I think they're going to give Buffalo fits this year. But give me Buffalo in the East. Zach, I'll start with you since you got us started with the NFC. So who do you have coming out of the NFC, not East, because we already know who you got. We got in the North.
I'm gonna go with the Lions again. I'm hopeful that they can finish the deal this year. The South, I think I'm gonna go. Then we'll go with the Buccaneers, NFC South, and I will ride with the L.A. Rams, the fighting Tim Hayes's in the NFC West this year.
Do they have a quarterback yet?
I think they're going to run the single wing. I think they're going to run.
You can put three guys in the backfield and just direct snap it to one of the
Yeah, just some misdirections.
Let's go. Double D, how about you?
In the East, Philadelphia, Tampa in the South, Green Bay in the North, and I think the Niners get back on track and win the West. Two big things I think in the NFC to look out for are, you know, Zach alluded to it, you know, how is Stafford going to be able to play? You know, they're talking about Stafford getting an epidural shot. Maybe he's already had it. I can't keep up with all the NFL injuries. And the same thing for Micah Parsons. And as someone who's had an epidural shot in the last week, I can tell you they don't always work.
Well, Micah Parsons, he passed that second physical on his back as soon as the ink dried on the check.
Right, but the last thing I did read on that was they were still considering giving him an epidural shot to try to increase flexibility, you know, pain management, whatever. But
when you're the top defense player to ever play the game, that little stuff's not going to matter.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, top defensive player. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I'm just – You know, I'm just going on what the media tells you. You know, I mean, there's never been anybody greater than Micah Parsons. I
wonder if they ever saw Lawrence Taylor play.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Reggie White.
Kevin, who you got?
I mean, we can, you
know. It's almost like you shouldn't have traded him.
How far back you want to go?
I mean, everything for Jerry, though. Everything's for Jerry. Long live Jerry Jones. Kevin, who you got coming out of the NFC?
In the West, I agree with Daryl. I think San Francisco's back, unfortunately. Not a big fan of the 49ers, but I think they've got the elements back there to be back. And I think in the South, Tampa Bay wins this by default. I mean, it's probably worse than the AFC South, isn't it? I mean, is this not – a league where basically if you just show up and you have 22 players on the field, you're going to beat your opponent from the NFC South. Just saying. In the North, Detroit, I think, is back. And I've already been hearing rumblings from Michigan that, you know, they're sort of taking it sort of personally that some of these pundits now are picking Green Bay after the big trade to win the North. And, So I'm picking Detroit. And in the East, the Washington Commanders take the title.
There you go. I'm with Daryl, man. I like Green Bay just for – Detroit's going to be in the playoffs. I think this is going to be like one of those late-season surges for them, but they're going to come up short just because of the coordinator changes on both sides, both of their coordinators from last year. Are now head coaches with the Jets and the Bears. So I like Green Bay in that one. Give me Atlanta in the South because I think that I think the South is going to change hands. It's still going to be neck and neck.
Oh, okay.
But give me the ATL there. Seahawks? Anybody in the West? Let's go with the Seahawks out there. And then I do think for the first time in 20-some-odd years, the NFC East is going to remain in the same hands of the previous winner. I give defending Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, the opportunity to win the division there. So, boom.
If that happens, that'd be the first time in 21 years.
That's what I said, in 20-some years. Yeah.
You said 20-some-odd years.
Yeah, 20-some. 21 is odd. Some. There you go. What is it? That's like us talking about what's a host? What number is a host?
Yeah. Players? Maybe Daryl or Zach could answer that question for us. We were talking Friday night. A player was tackled by a host of Bears, and I was just curious as to what number a host was wearing because I didn't see it on the roster.
I too use host of defensive players on a tackle. I go more than three as a host of tacklers to me.
Yeah.
that qualifies. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was more than a three, wasn't it, Kevin?
I think so, yeah. You were good on that one.
Sometimes I use hosts when I'm not even paying attention to see who made the tackle.
I've heard that many, many times. I've just never seen it.
Sometimes you got to look at your sheet. You're like, what number is that? Like, oh, okay. That's it. Number. Let's just say host and move on to the next play. Who's going to be the MVP this year, Double D?
I think Joe Burrow and the Bengals find a way to get in the playoffs, and that will require them scoring the most points in the NFL because their defense is that bad. And I think they find a way to get a wild card spot, and that will allow him to win MVP because the numbers he puts up will be Madden-like.
Zach?
I don't totally disagree with Daryl there. I think that is a great way of thinking about that. I am going to ride with my East pick in the NFC, and I'm going to say Jaden Daniels is the main reason the Washington Commanders overtake the Eagles in the division and wins the MVP trophy this year.
Kevin.
Well, Zach stole my answer, but I'm sticking with it. Jaden Daniels will win the MVP as Washington wins the NFC East.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, that I'm going to go with 3-1. My son's favorite player is the only player he can say is Jaden Daniels. And I will go with Zane's favorite player. I'll say Jaden Daniels is the MVP of the National Football League, following Lamar Jackson's footsteps, getting it in his second year in the sophomore season there. So no slump for 5 in Washington. Fellas, give us, we can change these later on. Give me your Super Bowl pickings, Kevin.
Who's going to win or who's going to be there?
Give us who's going to be in there, who you think's going to win.
The Washington Commanders will face the Baltimore Ravens, and the Baltimore Ravens win in one of the most exciting Super Bowls in the history of the game.
Oh,
Kevin's becoming a Washington fan. Zach, who you got?
No, I'm just dealing in facts, guys.
I heard.
Whoa. I'm going to go Lions get to the Super Bowl. I'm going to go Bills beat them in the Super Bowl. Bills over Lions.
Double D.
Buffalo wins its first ever Super Bowl. They defeat the San Francisco 49ers.
San Francisco, all right. Let's go with, I don't trust Buffalo and Baltimore, but that's what we got to do. I'll go with Buffalo to finally right the ship, and they will face they'll face the best defensive player this generation has seen, Green Bay, and they'll beat them. How's that sound? There we go. We'll go Buffalo there. So, boom, there you go. That's all right. We've got picks in the NFL as well before we get to our final segment here. So, fellas, we'll go rapid fire through here as we open it up. It is Aaron Rodgers taking on his team from last year, as it's New York Football Jets hosting the Steelers. Zach, who are you taking?
I'm going Steelers in this one.
Pittsburgh for them. Kevin?
Yeah, I'm afraid this might be ugly for people in New York. So going with the Steelers.
Daryl.
AETS, Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers will be lucky to throw for 220 yards a game this year. I think he's done. I think the Steelers are the disappointment of the NFL, and they're going on the road to MetLife, and the Jets get it done.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this one. Ugly game, but I think they'll find a way to win. It's the New York Football Giants at the Washington Commanders. Double D, who you taking?
This game, I think, will be extremely close. I think it'll be low scoring. I think it'll be extremely close. Washington's kicking situation scares me to death. Jaden Daniels does enough to figure out how to get Washington out of there with a one-possession victory. I think it'll be that type of game. Traditionally, here in recent history, Washington has not played that well against the Giants.
It was 2 one-possession games last year. Kevin, who you got?
The Commanders win this one.
Gotcha. Zach?
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far into the weeds as Daryl, but I'm going to go Commanders with the win.
The Giants are going to be much improved this year. With that being said, Washington score a touchdown in their last home game against the Giants. They kicked 7 field goals. Austin Seibert's not there. Matt Gay, who's now the kicker, has had issues from 50-plus, and they had no competition with him. That kind of irks me, but is what it is. I think Washington wins. They do enough offensively to win, and I think it might be a shootout there, boys. So give me the burgundy and gold. And CBS's game of the week, it's Detroit at Green Bay. Kevin, who you got?
This is going to be the most brutal game. I mean, you know, it's the Packers and the Lions. And, of course, all kinds of special attention, obviously, with this game coming up, I think, with the Parsons trade. Playing at Green Bay, it's a hard place to win at Lambeau there. I think the Packers win. In a close one.
Packers?
Not sure how many players are going to be able to walk off the field after it's over, though. But Packers win.
Zach, who you got?
So does Parsons play in this one is the real question. I think if he does, I think it gives Green Bay a slight edge. But I'm going to go Detroit in this one.
Is he not going to play? He's not reliable as a defensive player?
Well, he probably doesn't even have his cleats unpacked out of a box yet. You need those to play.
Yeah, he's packed the he passed the physical. He's good. His back's good.
Double D.
Green Bay. Did we skip the Chargers game? Or are we picking that last or something?
Yeah, we'll pick that last.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then Houston is at the Rams. I'm taking Detroit also. Houston is at the Rams. Let's go rapid fire with this. Double D.
L.A.
Kevin.
The Rams.
Zach.
I love L.A.
I will go Houston in that one. Sunday Night Football's Buffalo at Baltimore rematch of that divisional round game. Kevin, who you got?
Buffalo.
Double D.
Lamar and the Ravens win.
Lamar and the Ravens. I'll go Lamar and the Ravens as well. Zach, who you got?
I hope it snows. Give me the Bills.
Bills in a snow fest. Kansas City versus the Chargers out there. And is that in Brazil, right, on Friday night? Let's see here. I'm going to go with LAC. Zach, who you going with?
Yeah, I love L.A. again. Give me the Chargers.
Double D?
I'm picking the Chiefs for one reason only. This game last year, the footing was atrocious. They should never play NFL football games on these soccer stadiums where the footing is this bad. And that greatly benefits a passing team. And I think it will greatly benefit Mahomes and the Chiefs, where Harbaugh and the Chargers are more conventional, you know, want to play it close to the vest, take the Chiefs.
Kevin.
The Chiefs win.
Chiefs for Kevin. All right, fellas. Okay, we get ready to close up shop here. We bring on Isaiah Addington from Lonesome Pine Sports. He'll be our guest picker as we'll pick the college. Week 2 in Southwest Virginia, and we have Northeast Tennessee in Week 3. Coming up next here on Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Delegate Terry Kilgore, representing Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates, is a dedicated and esteemed advocate for the educational institutions of Southwest Virginia, as well as the revitalization of our cherished community. Delegate Kilgore is a fervent supporter of high school and college sports, embodying the spirit of community engagement and support. For further information on Delegate Terry Kilgore, please visit DelegateKilgore.com.
Home. It's where memories are made and where love grows. It's long talks in the kitchen, laughter in the hallway, and quiet moments that mean everything. At Eastman Credit Union, we're here for every step of your home ownership journey, so you can focus on building the life you've always dreamed of. Because a home is more than just a place. It's a feeling that lasts forever. Wherever life takes you, ECU is always by your side.
Ballad Health is dedicated to delivering top-quality healthcare close to home, featuring state-of-the-art facilities and services right in your neighborhood, complemented by nearby hospitals to enhance your care. When an emergency arises, you can find solace in the proximity of care. Visit one of our emergency departments at your nearest hospital, Norton Community, Dickinson Community, Lee Community, or Lonesome Pine Hospital. For more information, visit BalladHealth.org.
All right, closing time here. Pigskin Picks 93.5 WAXM. We're going to pick some games. But we have our first guest picker of the year, Isaiah Addington from Lonesome Pie Sports. Isaiah, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good. Excited to hear some predictions.
I heard that, and I know you're excited. You know, it's just like finding out Michael Parsons got traded to Wisconsin, and we're going to pick these games, and hopefully you won't be disappointed.
Hey, don't make those jokes. He's a Cowboy fan.
I know. That's why I made that. I didn't. Don't even start. I never joke.
He's got some back issues now, apparently, though.
Yeah. Every old man.
He's got back issues.
You get to Wisconsin, eat a bunch of cheese, your back goes out. You know, things happen.
That's why they're trying to get rid of dairy. I guess he's got to go from regular milk to oat milk or cashew milk or whatever he's going to do.
He's got all that guaranteed money, though. His back can go out and he's fine.
He can create his own milk. So, guys, let's get started in college football. It's week two for UVA-wise as they welcome a game that was canceled due to Hurricane Helene last year. They're supposed to go to Newberry. This year, Newberry comes a calling in their first game of the season against the 0-1 Cavaliers. I will start with Double D. Who are you taking in this one?
After what you saw last week, how do you pick UVA-wise? I mean, I thought that would be a pretty slam dunk victory for the Cavs. Unfortunately, I think you got to take the Wolves in this one.
Newberry for Daryl. Kevin.
Newberry.
Zach.
You know, I'm not going to give up on the Highland Cavaliers quite yet. I think they right the ship and get win number one at home against Newberry.
Isaiah, who you taking?
I agree with Zach. I was going to go with UVA as well.
UVA-wise. Depends on how the Scammell kid is. I got to go Newberry in this one. So give me the Wolves. As it is Concord at Bluefield State, we start with the voice of the Little Blues. Zach, who you got?
Well, you know, the good news for Bluefield State is Concord is not a run-heavy offense, so I feel pretty good about that after getting ran upon by Tusculum last week. I think this one, it's a rivalry game. I think it'll be close, but I think Concord gets back what they gave up last year. I think they get the big blue in this one and go 2-0.
Isaiah, who you taking?
I have Concord picked as well.
Concord, okay. Double D.
Same way. I mean, after what you saw from the Mountain Lions, how do you pick against them? Concord. Cody Edwards goes 2-0.
Kevin.
Say hey to Cody, Zach. Concord wins this one.
Straight C's for us. They still get degrees. It is Catawba at Emory and Henry. Will the Wasp be buzzing, Double D?
Yes. Emory.
In H4, Zach. Isaiah, who are you taking?
Emory Lowe.
Zach?
I'll go Waspers as well.
Kevin?
Emory and Henry.
Yeah, I'm starting to hate myself. I got to take the Wasp in this one. Y'all, we just picked this one just because it's local, but ETSU is at Tennessee. So we'll go rapid fire on this one. Isaiah, who you got?
Tennessee.
Zach?
Yeah, I want to go with the Fighting Jacob Townsends, but I'm going to go with the all the other Fighting Jacob Townsends in Tennessee.
Yes, that's just the answer right here. I just wonder how he's going to, like, does he, like, have, like, does he go to Alumni Hall down there in Bristol and be like, you know, get me a Tennessee shirt, get me a ETSU shirt, and then after each change of possession, he's wearing one shirt after another. I want to see how Jacob's going to respond in that game. Kevin?
Yeah, LSU schedules Clemson. Tennessee has ETSU, so the Vols win it.
It's on fire today. Double D.
Tennessee.
I will go with the Fighting Mike Keiths of Tennessee in that one. It is it's VPI hosting Vanderbilt in this one. Doctors versus the engineers, Zach. Who are you taking?
Okie okie high. Tech VPI.
It's a sad life. Isaiah, who you taking?
You leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Go Hokies.
There we go.
Score Isaiah. Kevin?
Yeah, a measure of revenge, obviously, with this game, but I think Tech wins it.
Daryl?
When is the last time Tech beat a non-conference Power 4 opponent?
I don't know. I don't have that kind of time, Daryl.
Vanderbilt. When Zach doesn't know the answer and he's that big of a Tech fan, that means it's been a while. Vanderbilt.
I was going to say the Reagan administration. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was there a wall up in Berlin still? I don't know.
They say UVA is going to send some of their doctors down there to cheer for Vanderbilt. So I'll go with Commodores as well there. As it is – speaking of doctors, it's University of Virginia at NC State, the Fighting Ansley Trivets. Kevin, who do you have in this one?
I'm going with NC State.
NC State. Isaiah?
I'm going to go with NC State as well now.
Okay. Double D.
Wolf.
Pat. They'll be howling. Zach, do I even need to ask?
No, go Pack. Go Pack.
Yeah, I'm going to go NC State as well, as it is a battle for the – it's right there. It's Kansas and Missouri battling each other. Who do you got, Daryl?
Oh, I got to go back and look at my notes. Hold on. I wrote it down. Missouri. Sorry.
Missouri for Double D. Kevin.
Yeah, I'm going with Missouri as well.
Missouri? Isaiah?
My gut says Kansas is going to pull off a big win here for them.
All right, Kansas. Zach?
I'm going to go Missouri this one.
Train up a child right, and they will pick Missouri. I'm going to go with Missouri as well, too. As it is, old Big Blue going down there to Oklahoma. We'll hear that song on Friday night, and it will be Isaiah. Who you got, Michigan or Oklahoma?
I'm going with Michigan.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'm going to say it before Daryl does. Big Ten stronger than the Southeast. I'm going with Michigan to win this one, too.
Zach?
Give me Boomer Sooner.
Oklahoma there. Daryl, who you got?
Oklahoma wins a football game.
I figured that was coming. I knew that was going to come. Oklahoma.
We're picking a Southeast Conference team over the Big Ten Wolverines.
Michigan's a little young, still rebuilding off that national championship 2 years ago.
I'm going to take my Wolverines. I think
they're still a Big Eight team to me, though.
Okay, Grandpa.
Ole Miss is at Kentucky, Isaiah. Who you got?
Ole Miss.
Kevin.
Upset special. The Wildcats win it at home. And down come the goalpost. Because, you know,
I heard that.
All you got to do is win a game to take the goalpost down anymore. It doesn't matter who you beat.
That's true. That's true. Zach, your boy Lane Kiffin.
Give me Lane Kiffin in this one.
Daryl.
Sam might have sniffed out an upset in this one, but I'll take the Rebels.
Rebels, Ole Miss. I'm going to go with Mississippi as well. We change our focus to Northeast Tennessee. Sullivan East is at Cherokee. Isaiah, who you taking?
I'll pick Cherokee.
Kevin.
Okay, I'm going to go. You know, Sullivan East is one of the nicest, most welcoming administrations. Every time I've been to East, always welcome there, great people there, great leadership. But Cherokee is going to win this game.
You talk about a fade.
No, East's good people, but, you know, they're just not very strong in football.
I heard that. Let's go with Zach.
Give me Cherokee in this one.
Cherokee for Zach.
Tim McGraw never sung a song about Sullivan East.
We need one. They need a song like Hampton, right?
Yep.
I am going to go with Cherokee in this one. Who you got? Cherokee or Sullivan East?
Who are we picking?
Cherokee or Sullivan East?
Cherokee.
Man, that took a minute.
Thank goodness we're live. It's Westridge at Elizabethan. Kevin, who you take?
Man, could be interesting. I'm going with Elizabethan, home field advantage.
Double D, who you got?
Cyclones.
Cyclones. Got Betsy there. Isaiah, who you taking?
Elizabethan at home as well.
All right, Zach.
Yeah, give me Betsy over Ridgeview South.
Right, Uncle Sean Winton for me as well. It's Science Hill at Tennessee High. Does anybody want to take the Vikings?
Bueller.
Our Bueller pick of the week, Science Hill. Granger 2-0 at Volunteer 2-0. Daryl gave us some fun facts, so I'll go back to him. Daryl, who you taking?
Volunteer goes 3-0 for the first time in the history of the school.
What about you, Isaiah?
I got a Volunteer as well.
Volunteer. Let's go to Zach.
No, I'm a Granger on this one.
All right,
Granger.
I was going to volunteer to go cover that if it was down at Granger because they got great tomatoes. But pretty good football team too. But I'm going to go with Volunteer. They're filling in at home.
Volunteer on the Smurf turf. They were the Falcons. My wife used to work there.
Yeah, they have a great football stadium.
They do. They have a beautiful football stadium.
All high school stadium. It's a nice facility.
But there's a reason why Granger is for the ones that get it done. Give me Granger to go undefeated in that one. It's Northview Academy at Greenville. Isaiah, who you taking?
Greenville.
Double D.
Green Devils.
Kevin.
Greenville.
Zach.
Yeah, give me Greenville.
All right. We travel back to the Commonwealth here as we got a slate of games. As it's the battle for Lee County as T. Walker takes on Lehigh. And we know our biggest Thomas Walker fan is here. Daryl, who you got?
Lee wins, but this game is going to be much closer than what a lot of folks that support the Generals think it will be.
Oh.
All right. Okay. Isaiah, who you got?
Give me Thomas Walker.
Say it with your chest, brother. I hear you. Zach.
Give me the Generals.
I thought you were going to pick your friends down there in Ewing. Let's see here.
Lee. No more hate mail.
Kevin, Stop reading the comments.
Yeah, the doctor is out. This is the battle for something, too. They had the battle for the bucket last week at Lehigh, and there's
is that the Coalfield Showdown down there this time?
Sword or something? I don't.
I think it's a battle. What's that, Rooster's Pub with the chicken?
They play for like a musket or something.
Yes. Hey, that might be it, Daryl. It might be a musket. I knew it was some kind of weapon. But Lehigh wins this one. I think it'll be a close game, too. But Lehigh has a lot of athletes. Don't be fooled by last week's game. Lehigh is going to win a couple of games, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I like Lee in this one as well. It is Unica at Twin Springs. Titans looking to bounce back. Kevin, do they do it?
Yes. I had to flip the coin to see. I think the Titans come out with the win on this one.
Let's go with Double D. Titans. All right. Isaiah.
Titans as well.
And Zach.
Yeah, give me the Titans at home.
All right. And our Bueller pick of the moment, it is Virginia High at John Battle. Does anybody want to take the Trojans? Gotcha.
The Battle of Bristol, Virginia.
Yep.
Did they close down that pizza joint at the bottom of the hill?
They did. They did. Unfortunately,
What a sad time.
What do you mean, unfortunately? How many times have you been there, Corey?
I've been there many
times. See, that's why they closed it. Nobody goes.
They got rid of that place. They got rid of Kobe. See, at sad time at Exit 7.
You moved there and you were trying to close on me because that was good pizza down there. I enjoyed that place. Shame on you. Shame on you, Kevin.
I'm not a fan, so I didn't. I've been
there. I dated a girl years ago who's gluten intolerant, and I think she was lying about that. She also lied about other things. That's why we're not dating anymore.
Did she go to Bell County?
Well, and the fact that you're married may have something to do with the fact you're not married.
That's true, too. I did not marry her.
Come on. It's Lebanon and Patrick Henry. Double D, who you got?
Sneers.
Lebanon there. All right. Isaiah, who you taking?
Lebanon.
Kevin?
You know, I couldn't let Zach go the whole night and be nice to him. Lebanon wins.
Lebanon. Zach?
Yeah, give me the Lebanese.
Yeah, I'll go Lebanese as well in that one. Christiansburg travels to Abingdon. Zach, who you got?
I'm going to go Blue Demons in this one. Christiansburg on the road.
I got that. Kevin?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to defer to Zach there, take his knowledge, teams up the road, but I'll go with Christiansburg.
Isaiah?
I'll go Abingdon. I'll go Abingdon here.
All right. Double D.
Well, last year, Abingdon had lost five in a row to Christiansburg. They won it last year with a field goal. I think Christiansburg gets back on track and they get the win Friday.
I will sleep on the couch and take Christiansburg to beat Abingdon this weekend. Oh, man.
It's not volleyball. You're safe.
Oh, hey, but it's still, they still Washington County signs that check, though. Gate City is at Dobbins Bennett. Kevin. The band or the Blue Devils?
The Battle of Kingsport. Dobbins Bennett comes out the winner.
You are a spicy individual today, sir. Daryl, who you got?
Indians.
All right. Isaiah.
DB.
Zach?
Yeah, I'm just happy some of these Gate City kids will get to walk from their house to the game. I'm going to go to Dobbins Bennett in this one.
Wow. They don't have to drive out of state.
Does that work?
Nope. Huh?
Now, we'll say I do see a lot of Sullivan County plates in my neighborhood. I'm just saying so. I'm not telling on anybody, but don't at me, y'all. I'm taking Dobbins Bennett to beat the Blue Devils here.
Wow, they know where you live and everything. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Send care packages through.
It's pretty neat that this game's being played. It's the first time they've played in forever. I hope that this can be a competitive, fun little rivalry and they keep playing.
Rye Cove, they said they're going to leave on Thursday to get to Grundy and to get back home on Saturday. But it's Rye Cove at Grundy. Kevin, who you got?
Oh, man. I was waiting to see what everybody else said about this one. It's going to be an interesting contest, I think, but I'll go with Rye Cove.
Rye Cove. Isaiah.
Rye Cove.
Zach.
I think this is a sneaky good game.
Yeah, it will be.
But I think Rye Cove goes up to Nelson Memorial Field and gets it done.
All right. Double D.
The defending Region D champions win.
Yeah, Rye Cove gets their first win of the season.
Well, this is a matchup of the last two Region D champions, correct?
Yes.
Yep. And while it may be interesting, I think the interest will wane round about halftime.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, Darryl.
I think
Ridgeview is at Honaker. Isaiah, who are you taking?
Wolfpack.
Zach.
I'm going to go Wolfpack, but I'm going to give Parker Lowe a shout-out. The freshman can sling the football around. He's going to be fun to watch next couple of years for the Tigers.
All right, Kevin.
Yeah, what a way to open up the season for Honaker with Lebanon and then hosting Ridgeview. That's a tough schedule for sure to start the season. I think Ridgeview wins this one, maybe a little closer than what people think.
All right. And Double D.
Ridgeview, big.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go Ridgeview in that one for them to stay spotless. Eastside in the final edition of this rivalry. Somebody said that Hurley was coming back down here. I don't know who that guy is, but they will travel up there to the cliff at Hurley. Double D, who you got, Spartans or Rebels?
Eastside wins the ball game.
Kevin.
Yeah, Hurley won big last week against Bland, but Eastside wins.
Zach?
Yeah, Eastside goes in, gets it done.
All right, Isaiah.
Spartans.
Spartans straight for that one, and probably one of the better games in the region. Marion hosts Central. Isaiah, who do you have? Do you have the Warriors or do you have the Scarlet Hurricanes to score their first points of the season?
Zeke, I'm really sorry, but I'm going with Marion.
E2 Brute. Mm-mm-mm. Woo! The Hurricanes for Isaiah. Zach, who you got?
I would invite everyone making the road trip to stop by Dip Dog and get your feel. That might be your last enjoyment of the night. I'm going to go Marion at home.
Marion for Zach. Double D.
I think Central figures out a way to win this game. It's going to be low scoring, two touchdowns to win it. Central finds a way to get the win.
Central for Double D. Kevin.
Home field advantage. I'm going with Marion to win.
Marion for Kevin. Hey, yo, Central.
Can you mark the tape on this one, Corey?
Huh?
You just remember last week I was the only one that picked Twin Valley.
Yes, it's true.
Okay. I just want to note here, unless you pick – I know you have a love for Marion, so you're probably picking Marion. So
don't be disrespectful. I was about to finish before you even got to me. I was going to say, hey, yo, Central, don't say Corey Sanchez doesn't believe in you. I'm taking you to beat the Hurricanes. Why? Because I'm a petty man. So go out there and score some points against the hapless Hurricanes. Let's go to WLSD's game of the week as it is Chill Howie going up to take on John I. Burton. We'll start with you, Double D. Who are you taking?
Chill Howie's got an injury at quarterback. The Robinson kid's come in and is playing now there as a freshman. I think that gives Burton a much better chance in this game than they otherwise had. Saying that, I still think the Warriors are too much, and Chill Howie gets the win.
Chill Howie for Double D. Zach, who are you taking? The Raiders or Chill Howie?
I'm going to go Burton. Look at Burton in this one.
I heard that, J.I.B. Gotcha. Isaiah.
I'm on Burton, too. I think Caldwell gets a big win this week.
All right, Kevin.
Well, the most enjoyable part of my day on this past Saturday was talking with Chilhowee assistant coach John Sabo, and he said they played pretty well in their season opener, the young quarterback. Who sort of like Landon Pinnell did last year at Eastside, just sort of thrust into a starting role, but did pretty well, held his own, did what he was asked to do, and he thinks they're going to be all right. Coach Sabo knows his stuff, so I'm sorry, Raiders, but I'm going to pick Chill Howie on this one.
As it is just family backslapping and backstabbing and everything here. So far, first it was with Central. Now it's with John I. Burton. You know what? I talked to Boo Sensabaugh.
Both Martin schools to lose this week.
I talked to Boo Sensabaugh on Saturday before UVA Wise game, and he brought this little nugget up. He said, they haven't won at home against Burton. Really, I guess if you consider that playoff game that they played at UVA Wise, they haven't won in the area against Chill Howie since then. So, seemed like they're motivated. They remember that. I said, you know what? I got you. I'm believing you. Give me the Raiders to beat the Warriors. And I hate to see somebody lose in this game, but I'll go with the local guys there. Kevin, you and I will be at Bullet Park, right? We will be. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, yep. We will be, along with our good friend, Double D. And
the band will be playing, and the Bears will come off the bus and march through the stadium.
That's true.
That's
going to be our WAXM game of the week here. Pregame is at 6:45, 7 p.m. We will be live with kickoff here. Isaiah, who you got? Do you have the Trailblazers or do you have the Bears?
I'm going with Union.
Union there. Zach, I don't think you and I – we're not parents the last time Daniel Boone actually won a game. So, there you go.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm going to go Union at home. I think Union's setting themselves up for and I don't think they're going to overlook Daniel Boone, but setting up for a nice little matchup the following week. And we'll go Bears to take care of things in the Bullet.
Taking care of business with Union. Kevin, who you got?
I'm going to go with Union to win this one, too. Yeah.
Union. All right. Double D, who you got?
Give a shout-out to Coach Turner and all the fine folks from Appalachian Big Stone over the years. And if you come to this game, I think you'll see why Union is consistently in the playoffs. It's youth football night, and every youngster that played peanut football from Appalachia or Big Stone will be there and will run out on the field. And when you see the amount of kids that are involved in football from the ages of 7 to 12 in Appalachia and Big Stone, that's how you continue to make the playoffs year after year. Union wins in front of the youth on Kids Night at Bullet Park.
Yeah, we got to give a shout-out, too. You mentioned that to Eastside's Little League football, Kevin.
Yeah, they did a great job with that last week.
They did a great job with that, too. And that speaks to how they've been able to turn it around so quickly as well. Daryl with Union. I'm going to go with Union as well. Isaiah, brother, we appreciate you coming on. Tell the folks where they can find you at, how they can follow you, and tell them where you're going to be at this Friday night.
Friday night, I'll be in Marion watching the Warriors and Marion play, obviously. You can find us on Facebook, just Lonesome Pine Sports, or at our new website, lonesomepinesports.com.
Get some dip dog.
Yeah, get you a dip dog there. Very highly overrated. Yeah. Hot dog.
Yes. Did you say highly overrated?
Say that again, Kevin.
Did you say highly overrated?
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yes.
Oh my Lord. Yeah, you gotta stop by the great, great people. I got an opportunity to do a feature story on the Dip Dog a couple of years ago, I think, for the Bristol Herald Courier. Just great folks, and a good business, local business. We need to support our local businesses.
Yes, hope you feel like a jerk now, Corey.
I mean, hey, they're good people, everything. I might eat there. I just think it's overrated.
They got good burgers, too.
Yeah, see, burgers might be good. I try a burger. I just thought it good was overrated. Corn dog. Mm-hmm. So, hey, that's. I mean, that is what it is. And shout out to your father with all the great pictures as well. Zach, where are you at? Where are you at next this Friday?
Bluefield has Princeton at Princeton. So that'll be a big game. Mm-hmm. We'll learn a little bit about the Tigers. And then next Saturday, 1 o'clock, Ed Mitchell hosting the Mount Lions. So that's going to be a little awkward for me, but I'll get through it.
So will they bust up the Craig Plimel plaque, or do you have like a portal one of that so you can look at it?
I think, well, I've got one saved in my phone, like a picture of it. So I usually just put it in front of me and light a candle right before kickoff.
It'll be like right there beside your down dial. I expect when I get my Snapchat that it's Craig Plimel and your down dial right there along.
Well, I have to take the snap on my phone so you won't see.
Oh,
Daryl's trying to leave us.
Yeah.
Daryl's trying to leave us.
Yeah, why is that going to be awkward?
I played at Concord and then
that's what I was going to say.
Graduated from Bluefield State.
Explain it to those of us who don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A long time ago. Daryl, you got time for this story or
picture it, Sicily?
I know it very well. I mean, you can include your UVA Wise adventure in there as well if you want to.
Yeah, I like to. I'm a traveler, both time and space.
Traveling man. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have started singing on radio for you all.
Didn't you have? Yeah, Merlin Olsen. You did Andy Merlin Don Olsen.
Meredith, right. Not Merlin Olsen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Don. I said it was Don Meredith too. Wow.
Don't you insult former Cowboys.
Daryl's so frustrated. I love it.
Yeah, he's right. Daryl is ready to go home and say hello to the kids and everything. We will talk to you next week here. Pigskin Picks 935 WAXM. So for Kevin Mays, Zach Helton, Daryl Ely for whatever he's doing, and our guest picker Isaiah Addington, Corey Sanchez, Kevin and I will talk to you tomorrow night from Bullet Park, where they take on the Trailblazers of Daniel Boone. So good night, and we'll be talking to you around the way.